The General Services Administration is one of the agencies leading the drive to improve energy efficiency in federal buildings. Last year, it commissioned a complete transformation of Portland, Oregon's Edith Green Wendell Wyatt Building. Originally built in 1974, it's now one of the most efficient federal buildings in the country. In part two of our special report, The Federal Office of the Future, I spoke to Sean Benjamin. He's the Region 10 Commissioner for GSA's Public Building Service. He told me more about those renovations.
Edith Green Wendell Wyatt is a federal building located in the heart of Portland, Oregon. It's an 18-story federal building, roughly 525,000 square feet. That's home to more than 16 federal agencies and 12,000 federal employees. And the building and the modernization that we did was a perfect marriage for the city of Portland because they are very well known for their sustainability and commitment to sustainability.
And give us an idea of what was there. How old was the building? What's it made of? What kind of building is it generally?
Yeah, I won't go too far into the specifics, but it was a building that was originally constructed in 1974 and underwent a major renovation between 2009 and 2013.
Okay, so is it a glass type of structure or more of a traditional-looking building?
It was more of a traditional facade, concrete, built-up type of facility.
What was the objective of this renovation?
The objective of the renovation was to be able to meet the goals of the American Reinvestment and Recovery Act. And we had two main goals. One is to be able to build a cornerstone facility that was going to use all sustainable practices. And the second one was to be able to maximize the square footage that we had in the facility to meet our agency's missions and make sure we had a facility that our employees would be able to work in that was efficient for them as well.
All right, so tell us, let's start with the outside of the building and maybe work our way in, because sustainability was a goal. I guess that starts with the outside of the building. What did the renovation consist of?
We have a multitude of sustainability practices that we put into the facility. The work was completed by a great team of architects and designers, and the building intent was to green the building with all new mechanical, electrical, plumbing, and data systems designed to make it one of the most energy-efficient office buildings in the country. I'm going to highlight a couple areas. One is it was had a 13,000-square-foot solar roof panels that were there to produce about 3% of the building's electrical energy requirements annually. So that's a wonderful opportunity for reducing our energy needs. Also, we modernized the elevators. So when the elevators descend, they also generate power for the buildings as well. And we have energy-efficient electrical lighting systems that have advanced controls, and we are reducing usage by 40% compared to the Oregon code for lighting. And the last thing to highlight is we have a 165,000-gallon rainwater retention system that we use for our low-flow flush capabilities for our toilets, and we also use that to irrigate our native landscaping within the building on the outside.
Now, were the solar panels there to start with, or those were added?
Those were added. That was part of one of our sustainability design features for the facility.
And the lighting and the plumbing and so forth, those things, did they require people to move out of the building? And was it a gutting type of situation, or could it be retrofitted while people were there?
No, and that's a great question. Some of the original conversations were about trying to do the modernization with the people in place. We made a business decision that was in the best interest of both the employees, the agencies, and the government to move all the employees and the tenants to lease space while we did a full modernization of that facility, and that was in the best interest of the government and the best value for the taxpayers.
And so you mentioned earlier also that you were trying to maximize the use of the interior space. So it sounds like when it was put back together, the layout on the inside was different.
Well, what we originally had is we were able to I'm going to use some non-technical terms here, but we were able to bump out a little bit more of the facade, which allowed us to gain additional square footage, and we can always get back into more of the technical aspects of it, and the project managers and project delivery teams were able to do that. But we were able to gain additional space that will be able to house additional agencies and government employees into that space. So it was a great win-win for the government.
Well, is it the same outside footprint of the building, or did you put an addition on?
Well, the building, no, and that's a great question. There wasn't an addition. What we were able to do was we had an interior facade that we were able to bump out and maximize additional square footage from the inside to the outside.
Okay, so in other words, the outside is thinner in effect.
Yeah, and basically, and like I said, you and I would have to get the technical people on the phone with us. But what we were able to do was be able to take the interior outside of the skin, and we were able to maximize that in more detail.
So in other words, if you take even a foot around the perimeter, it adds up to a lot of feet by the time you get all the way around and all the floors.
Yes, and you add 18 floors to that. You're exactly correct.
Okay, we're speaking with Sean Benjamin. He's the regional commissioner for GSA's Northwest Arctic region of the Federal Building Service. You mentioned lower electrical consumption. What about the lighting components? How did that change?
Well, what we were able to do is to put in some additional advanced controls that will allow us to reduce our energy consumption for lighting by 40%. And in today's utility costs and for the entire project, we're going to be able to save roughly $300,000 to $400,000 annually associated with our energy reductions. And once again, the point I want to make out to that's based on today's utility costs. And we know in the future those utility costs are going to go up. So if we didn't put in place savings associated with water reduction, energy reductions, our costs for maintaining the facilities with utilities would just gradually rise with the cost of utilities.
And did you change to LED lighting and that kind of thing, or was it still the same basic lighting that was there, but the controls and systems feeding it were different?
No, it was a total retrofit. Installing the current and the best advances associated with lighting as well as control. So the entire retrofit put in the new standard lightings for the entire building.
And the elevators, I never heard of that the elevator going down could, I guess, maybe turn a pulley or something that was attached to a generator?
Yeah, once again, it's a great, you've hit on something that's very interesting. I don't have all the technical factors to that. I have a great team that manages that, but when they do descend, they are able to generate power that is fed back into the building to be able to use for the electrical support of the building.
All right, so the HVAC is different, the lighting is different, even the plumbing is different, the elevators are different. When people came back into the building, what was their experience?
Well, and prior to them coming back in the building, the project delivery team did a great job, and I want to highlight the project delivery team a little bit. But to answer your question, they did a great, great strategy of informing the new tenants what it was going to look like, holding many different forums to allow the tenants to come to the building, understand the building before they moved into the building. And so the early returns that we're getting from the agencies and employees is they love it. They love the ability to have the daylight, to be able to have open working concepts, open workstations, where they're able to, as an employee, gain that additional sunlight from traditional buildings that we've had in the past. We haven't always had the workforce to be able to enjoy the sunlight and the daylight.
And do you have metrics on, are there new ways of measuring what are the best practices, the best metrics for building construction and employee occupancy and square foot per employee, that kind of thing? What are the metrics we look at in modernized buildings or buildings built from scratch?
Yeah, there's a couple things I would highlight. One is, you know, as you and I, most of our days are spent indoors. You know, most people are spending approximately about 90% of their time indoors. And for federal employees and also just in the commercial world, most of the employees are spending anywhere from 8 to 10 hours of their work days indoors. And it's important for us to understand how incorporating natural light and views into workspaces can increase the exposure to sunlight, which also has been linked to more restful sleeping at night and alertness during the day, which equates to what we're hoping for is a happier workforce, someone that we can retain, and also we get additional productivity from that individual. One thing that we are doing with the Edith Green Window Wide is it's one of five buildings that GSA is conducting a research associated with daylight and how occupant experiences with daylight and how it relates to health and well-being for the workforce as well, and just not the workforce for the government, but also be able to pass that information on to the private companies as well in the future. That should be done in the next few weeks, so I'm very excited about hearing that study and the information that will come from that study for the future of our health of our employees.
So it sounds like this Portland building was kind of a test bed for a lot of new ideas.
Yeah, one of the driving goals and objectives based on leadership direction is that this project was going to be a learning project, just not for how we go about doing our design, but also a learning project about how we deliver projects in the future. And the group of individuals that was involved in this was Cutler Architects, also being supported and being very engaged by Sarah Architects. And then we had a great builder, which was Harris Wright Construction, as part of that. And we employed to the project manager, who did a great job to make sure that this was a integrated delivery process, focusing on housing that entire team in one work area and focusing on learning and documenting clearly weekly what we did well, what we could have done better, and being able to provide that information to future project delivery teams. It's important that the federal government lead by example and be leaders in transforming the way we think about how buildings and communicators are designed, constructed, operated, and maintained for the future. You know, as you know, the federal government has over 360,000 buildings and approximately 3.3 billion square feet. So it's our responsibility to lead sustainability in our country as well, to be a change leader for the entire world.